Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we consider the book of Jude and its challenge to contend for the faith. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So grateful for your attendance and your support, and looking forward to just another day in His Word. I believe that being in the Word of God every day is an essential thing for believers to be strong in the Lord. And so I do thank you for doing this, whether or not you do it every day with us, or whether or not you binge on long trips, or however you listen to the podcast. I'm grateful that you do. We've been talking about some examples. Jude was the master illustrator. He wrote a letter that he didn't intend initially to write, but circumstances demanded that he help the believers of his day understand the incipient problem of false teaching that was coming into local church, and just the way by which these filthy dreamers, the way by which these false prophets, false teachers were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And he gave us a number of examples so far. We've talked about Egypt. We've talked about the angels that fell. We talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. Last episode, we talked about Michael. That was a positive example, and how, like Michael, we can stand against the devil and stand against what the devil says, ultimately in the power of the Lord and His Word. And we read verse 10 again yesterday as well. So let's look at that, where the Bible says, "But these," so back to the false teachers, "but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves." So not only does Michael serve as a positive example for believers to stand for truth against error. Michael stood for the body of Moses. We stand for the body of truth in the gospel. But the Bible says Michael also serves as a condemning example of the false teachers. So unlike Michael, these false teachers, they speak evil of those things which they know not. You know, as believers, we have a body of knowledge. We have that for which we can stand and upon which we can stand. But these false teachers, they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. In other words, these false teachers behave not like spiritual teachers with insight from God's word, but they speak rather like an animal would speak, that just gives credence to its own animal instincts, to its own desires, its wants, its lusts, its bruteness.
These are people who, instead of knowing the truth and speaking the truth, the things that they know are only those things that they try to excuse within their own flesh. Those things that they quote-unquote know naturally. Hey, I'm just going to go with the flesh, what I have in me, and those things are what ends up corrupting them.
So think about the examples we've already used, and let's kind of put them together. So false brethren have no real spiritual understanding. Their motives and weapons are carnal, even though they wear a spiritual mask. So they've come into the church acting as if they have spiritual understanding in turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. But what we found in the examples already provided is that none of that is true. And what Jude does is Jude cuts right to the chase and says, no, they're not erudite understanding teachers, but they're like animals. And you think about, okay, a brute beast, an untamed animal. What would be a way by which to describe a brute beast or an untamed animal? I wrote down three. One way to describe them would be that brute beasts seek sensual satisfaction. They want to mate. You know, if you want to go deer hunting and want to get a good buck, go during the season when, you know, that buck is looking for a doe, right? Because he's not thinking about anything else. You know, an otherwise wary creature is going to, with reckless abandon, run across that field. He's going, why? Because he's ruled by his sensual passions. Okay, that lion, that carnivore is ruled by its appetite. That's what it's ruled by. So that's what Judah already told us back in verse 7, is that they demand their pleasure. They're ruled by their appetite. What else do brute beasts hate? They hate submission. Taming a wild animal. You can have a domesticated animal, they'll be just fine. A cat or a dog, a gerbil, a fish. Okay, but you know, it's probably unwise to try to bring a wild animal in your home. Some have tried that and it's ended badly. You know, they, why? Because brute beasts hate submission. They want their own way. They want to do their own thing. They have their own kingdom. Just like those angels that despised their high and lofty, devalued their high and lofty position. And then brute beasts, they live by sight. They don't live by faith. They don't live by higher ideals. They don't live by principle. They live by sight. Okay, it was better in Egypt. We had food. It's better there because we had what we wanted in front of us. So all of the examples that Jude has already provided are subtle examples of what a brute beast would want. And so here he just calls a spade and says, these false teachers, they are essentially just like brute beasts.
And even thinking of that idea of the law and submission that we bring ourselves under, there's some connections, even to the Jewish reader, between the angels that are mentioned so prominently here in the law. It's almost as if they don't understand the purpose of the law, not only in bringing people to salvation, but it's almost like even after salvation, these people think, okay, well, that's that. I almost don't have any need for the Bible as a whole, except for maybe a little bit of encouragement here or there. But they don't see it as that which they should live their lives by.
Very, very true. Asaph gave a very transparent picture of a time of struggle in his own life. So Asaph was one of the writers of the Bible, a holy man of God. If you read the Psalms right in the 70s, those are most of Asaph's Psalms. I think he wrote 11 or 12 Psalms. But Psalm 73 might be the most famous of the Asaph Psalms. And Psalm 73 is a psalm where Asaph gives us a picture into some of his dark thinking. Hey, I was upset. I was depressed. I was looking out my window. I saw that people that didn't serve God and people that didn't love God, they were prospering. And people like me that were serving God and trying to honor God were not prospering. And I was troubled by that. And finally, I came to the Lord on it. And when I got alone with God and saw the eternality of God and saw the truth of God, then my perspective changed. And I realized, it is not I who have it bad. It is they who have it bad. And the word of God and the eternality of God changed my perspective. And I say all that to say, here's what Asaph said in verse number 22 of Psalm 73. He said, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." So Asaph said, when my thinking was on the grounds of, I don't get what I want, the Christian life isn't bringing me physical prosperity, those people out there seem to have everything they desire, they're getting raises at their job, they live in a bigger house than I do, this is not fair. As long as that was my thinking, I was like a beast before God. But now that I've seen the truth of God's word, now that I've seen the eternality of God, I realize, I was so wrong. So what a great illustration that false teachers spread beast-like philosophy. And a beast philosophy is get what you can. You know, survival of the fittest. Top of the food chain. Might makes right. You know, get pleasure is king. And Asaph said it's even possible for good, godly, mature believers to fall into that trap.
Definitely. I remember even recently reading a book where the person writing the book spoke of, we think of this illustration that one day we'll be able to step back away from everything, even on this earth, and understand a lot of what God's doing. But the truth is even on this earth, our vision is always going to be flawed. We're not going to see everything that God is doing. I'd heard a quote before, God may be doing 1,000 things and you're only aware of maybe 3 of them. God's working so many things behind the scenes for his purposes, for his glory. And we really shortchange that when we're just looking at it through what we can see.
Very good. So I guess my question to you today, my friends, is, are you thinking on the plane of a mature believer in Christ, a child of God? Or do you find yourself thinking more like an animal would think? I know that's offensive language, but I'm speaking to myself as well. How often in life do we respond just according to our animal instincts and not according to the high and lofty position that we have in Jesus? So much to say. And we're going to jump into some other examples next episode. I don't want you to miss. Hope you're having a great day already. Hope you have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you again next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.